and you're not going to build, you know, a huge upper back or explosive strength from the Olympic lifts. You're going to do it through your squats and your posterior chain work and your upper back work. And then when you come back to that snatch, you come back to that clean, they're going to come up.
Uncharted Performance is built by strength. Head over to strength.com and use the discount code Uncharted for 10% off at checkout on all their premium supplement products to fuel your training and enhance your performance without any extra fillers, artificial sweeteners, or banned substances. Including Catalyst, their NSF certified, chemical-free, hormone-free grass-fed whey. Fun fact of the day, since the FDA doesn't require dietary supplements to be tested before they are marketed, many supplements don't actually contain what they're supposed to contain. The NSF certification is the highest standard and assures that supplements do not contain undeclared ingredients or contaminants. To earn NSF certification, products must undergo rigorous testing and inspection. Simply put, strength.com is a brand that you can trust. We certainly do. So get over to strength.com and use the code Uncharted for 10% off at checkout. Do you own a gym? Are you creating your own epic garage gym? You need top-of-the-line strength conditioning training equipment, including barbells, plates, kettlebells, sandbags, squat racks, rigs, strongman implements, powerlifting belts, all the accessories your heart desires, you name it. Jump to unchartedperformance.com, click the Rogue Fitness icon in the sidebar, and let your imagination run wild as you create the perfect training environment. Did somebody say free stuff? I think somebody said free stuff. Did they say free stuff? Yeah, they said free stuff. We have a bad habit of giving away free stuff here on Charter Performance. Be it apparel from Wad Nation, our good friends at Wad Nation, or barbells from Rogue Fitness. There's a giveaway or contest right around the corner. If you want to stay informed for your chance to win, or get notified when a fresh new episode of our video podcast drops before everybody else, sign up for our newsletter on chartedperformance.com. We promise we won't tell anyone as long as you don't. All right? That'll be our secret. So keep quiet. Shh. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Pal Wenzel, and welcome to another episode of Uncharted Performance, where our mission is to discover, explore, learn, and share knowledge from the best and the brightest in the fields of functional fitness, strength, nutrition, and wellness that you can apply inside and outside of the gym to elevate your performance. As a good friend of the show called it, we are the Lollapalooza of fitness and strength training. If you had never heard of Lollapalooza, definitely look it up. This is the episode where two superhumans collide. We are joined by our very good friends, Mark Valenti of Blind Dog Gym, and the brand new Refined Savage podcast. Definitely check that out. We'll link all that up in the show notes. And Sean Schumacher of Team BSS. We actually couldn't find a gym big enough to hold these two, so we actually recorded this episode outside, and we were blessed on a beautiful late spring day. Mark is going to hate me for saying this, but this is definitely an epic conversation with two veterans of the strength game with a combined over 50 years of experience, mostly thanks to Mark. And still both going strong. Sean just almost eclipsed the 800-pound mark in the deadlift at around 220 body weight, beltless and double overhand grip. And Mark just returned from Iceland, competing in the World Masters and Highland Games, where he placed in top three. If you want to learn more about Sean and his background, definitely check out episode 49 and more on Mark episode 9, way back in the day, as well as our Strength Summer Series alongside the great Tom Rini and Lindsay Kelly. So what do we talk to these two meatheads about? That's a great question, but a very simple answer. It's reaching your full potential. A little loaded there, but it is a detailed conversation around the type and specific accessory movements and exercises to improve your squatting, deadlifting, pressing, and pulling. If you are hitting plateaus in training in the gym, this is what you need to explore, apply, test, measure, and evaluate. As the famous idiom goes, the devil is in the details, and we have two of the best to break it down for us. If you have a moment, please definitely rate and review the show on iTunes. In the month of July, one lucky member of the UP Nation will win a pair of brand new training shoes. The winner will get to pick from the following: Noble, Reebok Nano, or Nike Metcons, whichever ones you prefer. It means a lot to us. It actually means a ton, and it helps our guests, more so us, gain more exposure on the internets. Last but not least, make sure to tag us on Instagram or Twitter, whenever and wherever you, to let us know when you are catching the show. With that said, time to get jacked.
All right.
All right. Good, babe. All right. We are back with a couple old faces. Not old in terms of age.
He does it to me every time.
With some familiar faces. That's probably a better way to put it. We couldn't contain these two gentlemen in the gym, so we brought them outside, and we got our yoga mats in the car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get them stretched out.
Oh, man.
In a few. But we have Mark Valenti of Blind Dog Gym. The Refined Savage.
Yeah.
We'll get to that towards the end.
I need a plug.
Yeah, make sure we plug that really well. The Silent Confidence, backed by popular demand, came out of nowhere.
Yeah, how about that? People actually liked
it. Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
I was surprised.
No, but the man with the 800-pound deadlift, he's all healed up.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Schumacher. The podcast did very well. Mm-hmm. For how reserved you seem to be and how quiet you are, it did awesome. So we're gonna be talking about developing absolute strength in various movements and lifts. I think what we talked about with Sean is a good starting point is the deadlift, and kind of revisit that and basically how to get better at the lifts without actually performing the lifts. So doing what kind of accessory work we're essentially want to be performing to improve those lifts.
I mean, all of your posterior chain stuff. So, okay. Like even heavy barbell rows, and then you got your glute ham raises. I'm really big on good mornings. Mm-hmm. And I like doing good mornings with chains. So as you come up, you know, it continues to get heavier. And lunges, I've been adding a lot of lunges. So we're going to see what lunges do for my deadlift now.
Gotcha.
So a lot of posterior chain work.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mark, you got anything to add?
Yeah, I mean that's I'm trying to think. I'm on that reverse hyper probably 10 times a week, 10 different, you know, groups of sets of 3 or sets of 4. Mm-hmm. So anytime I do a lower body exercise, I'm warming up with it. Sometime during the week I'm using it as a heavy auxiliary, and then I'm coming back. And all my little mini workouts that, you know, I'm in the gym all the time. So, mm-hmm. you know, I hit my major workout in the morning. I come back and hit something mini in the afternoon. But it always involves reverse hypers. So we hit that a lot. I love good mornings. I love the 45-degree back extension. The thing I think people do with that is they don't load it up heavy enough. So they're holding a 10-pound slam ball to their chest or something. Okay. And it just load that up, you know, do your sets of 5 or 10 at the most, you know, and really load that up. And then I dig heavy ab work. So a lot of side bends with as heavy a dumbbell or kettlebell as I have in the gym. A lot of standing ab crunches, either on the cable machine or with a band. We do a lot of ab wheel. I love the ab wheel.
Okay. Ab wheel's my favorite.
Yeah.
So most people wouldn't typically think of necessarily throwing that in to develop their deadlift specifically, right? Mm-hmm. So why are you adding in heavy ab work?
Well, I mean, that's your whole core.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're using all of those muscles. I mean, they're stabilizing and staying tight as you're standing up. So you need those up front and, you know, and on the sides to help you make just like a thick, heavy, strong trunk.
Okay.
So yeah, the ab wheel is phenomenal for it.
Yeah. And just for a picture, if you're not watching on YouTube and you're listening to iTunes and Stitcher, and if you haven't actually seen Mark and Sean in person, they're pretty thick around the midsection. Not like in a bad way.
I like it. I saw it. Matter of fact, I was looking at a picture of the first time we met, and it was me, you, Lindsay, and Tom at Black Flag, and I really was super, I was getting out of the super heavy CrossFit stuff at that time and getting back into the heavy weightlifting. And I was at like 238. My waist was real narrow. And then see the picture of the last one we did, my waist had thickened out. And for me, that's a great thing. You know, it means all that work I'm doing is actually working. You know, if you're at that same body fat percentage, but everything's thickening out and getting stronger, you know, I'm a huge believer in training that core, but not training it, you know, with, you know, a lot of these yoga type movements, but, or sit-ups or anything like that, load it up just like you load up everything else. You
know? And when we talk to Sean, he does a lot, mostly, you do mostly conventional, right? When you deadlift, right?
Yes. Yes.
Mark, do you ever do sumo?
I go back and forth. Okay. I force all my people to go back and forth. The way I look at it is if I'm crappy at sumo, then there's something weak there that I need to train. So like, I know you don't do a lot of speed work, but we'll do a lot. We'll do our, you know, 12 doubles and we'll just switch stances every time, you know, back and forth and, try to hit everything, you know, and that's, you know, it's not, it may not work for everybody, but I think you should be strong at both, especially with the people that aren't at the level maybe that we are yet, that aren't really sure how well they pull or which stance they pull better. You know, you're going to learn a lot by doing all that volume.
And I don't think we got much into it. But what is the, besides the, you know, the stance itself, what is the major difference? What are the major differences between pulling conventional versus sumo?
I mean, you get a lot more leg into the sumo and a lot more inner thigh. And I agree with Mark. I think that's a really good thing to have, you know, your athletes do, just to strengthen their, you know, inner thighs and their legs in that position. And I mean, you're using your back different in the sumo, so you're strengthening different muscles than you would use in the conventional for your back. And I think that's, well, you got more glute in the sumo too, you're kind of squatting it up. So I agree. I think that's an excellent idea.
Any room for snatch grip deadlifts in the work you guys do?
Yeah. We use it as a max effort exercise.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've actually been using the elevated snatch grip deadlifts lately because I had my glute tweak. And I could, it's engaging more back for me.
Yeah.
So I've been elevating it because if I come from the floor, it still kind of hurts. But if I elevate it, I could still get a lot more back pulling together work with it. So it seems like it's going to do a lot for my strengthening. I get pretty sore from doing them.
Yeah. They're brutal.
They are. They're awful.
And you obviously have to use them much lighter. I mean,
well, yeah.
Relatively lightweight.
Relatively, yeah. Yeah.
Whatever that weight might be for you. So we got good mornings, reverse hyper, lunges, back extension, 45 degree angles is the one that you would find at the typical.
Or like off the glute ham, you could do them that way too. You know, I think switching them up, the more variations I can throw in there, the better. You know?
So that's a lot of posterior chain work, right? Anything specific for like the glutes? The reason I bring that up is because I'm thinking of Brett Contreras, is obviously the glute guy. He throws in a lot of hip thrusts. Yeah.
from your experience, the glutes.
I think it does hard, too, big time. I mean, I found that the lunges have been destroying mine.
Okay,
and like, I know
I'm
that
scared of them. They hurt.
Well, so bad, but I'm really weak in that position.
I too. Yeah.
So I started doing them, and I got so sore. So obviously, my glutes are weak in that position. Okay. So I started adding those a lot more, and it's still really sore. So it's not getting better at any time soon. But
my favorite is Sled Dragon.
Sled Dragon's awesome.
Okay. Just load that thing up, and you're taking big lunge steps. You know,
you're just walking with it, though.
Yeah, you're walking and taking big, you know, lunging steps with it. And we go. I'll build up to several loops, but we start off with just like a 400 meter loop with the sled. And man, by the time you're almost done with that, your ass is on fire. Yeah. I mean, it's just. Okay. Everything is blown up below the waist. So,
gotcha. What about RDLs, Romanian deadlifts?
Throws all in that there. Stuff. Okay. Yeah,
cool. Seems something you also mentioned in the previous episode was sled. Not besides the sled jack, was the prowler push.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So you get in, you dig the big lunging steps, and I actually would do those instead of lunges, just because
you don't like lunges.
I just don't like lunges. Worst, so I was like, well, these are close, so I'm kind of doing it, but it's not exact because you definitely don't get as sore.
Any specific variation of the lunge that you've seen has more carryover? You know, there's just the typical, you know, dumbbells by your side. You can do a front rack with the barbell or just a back on the back.
That's Sean. I hate him. I just refuse to do him.
I like the front rack lunges just because it kind of pulls you forward, so you got to keep up.
And you're still working on that core.
And you're still working on that core. Yeah. And I like the safety squat bar.
Okay.
Just because I'm lazy and like holding like this all that time just wrecks me. Yeah. So that's nice and comfortable. Oh, and another good, like I found that front squats help my deadlift too. And for me personally, because I don't stay vertical in my front squat, I kind of tip forward. So as I load the bar, I'm kind of like, it's just mobility issues.
Yeah, for sure.
My lack of mobility actually makes front squats help my deadlift.
Right.
So I'll play that card.
And that's something we'll probably get into to close it out in terms of what kind of mobility work that you do or maintenance work to be able to perform the lifts. So that's actually a good segue, for front squat. So I think we've covered the deadlift in depth. If you want to hear more about the deadlift, check out the episode we did with Sean, and we'll link that up below, especially on our website on YouTube. But let's talk about the squat, all right? And what way do you squat? Which way do you prefer to squat, and why?
Stance wise, or?
Yeah, stance. Right, there's high bar, low bar, wide.
Me personally, I have a very wide stance. Mm-hmm. I just came from that background. With my athletes, I have them play with stances and just kind of figure out, you'll go to some CrossFit gyms and they'll tell you your feet have to be right under your hips. And that doesn't work for a lot of people. It's just never going to happen. So I have my people. So some of my people squat super wide. Some of them squat narrow.
Based on their
anatomy. On just their, yep, exactly. Okay. And their mobility and, whatever's going to get you below parallel with the most amount of weight on your back is what I have them do. Like I said, my feet, out of necessity and out of just the way I always lifted, are very wide. Mm-hmm. And I'm to the point now with as beat up as I am, wide stance box squats are about the only thing I can do. Everything else just is too much. It just hurts.
What about you, Sean?
I go a little bit more of a narrow stance. I go pretty much my deadlift stance with my squats.
Okay.
But that goes back to mobility, because if I go wide, like I could just barely maybe touch parallel. So I'll keep mine in, and then my knees go out. I'm kind of like, I don't know, I'm not really high bar, but I don't go low bar. I'm kind of in the middle there.
Right.
I just have my own
spot.
I hold the bar, it just fits there.
I just have a really weird squat.
Yeah, it's my traps. it's kind of like a neutral stance, neutral bar squat. But like with my athletes too, I'll have them figure out their squat stance. And then we have Mike. Olympic lifting coach. So he usually comes in and helps find their squat stance too. So that's his specialty. So I let the specialist take that over. One. Yeah.
So for now, you can take it from your own perspective in terms of why you lift and for your events that you compete in, and even from your athletes as well. What do you have them do to develop greater leg strength in the squat, or just build a bigger squat?
At my place, what I do, I like to use the leg press. Because your core is kind of taken out of the leg press.
Mm-hmm.
So you could actually press with just your legs and Mm-hmm. So some people, when they're squatting, their core ends up being why they fail a squat.
So
you could load your legs a lot heavier and you could push them a lot further with a leg press because you're not afraid of falling onto the ground and having to bail from a bar. So I like to push the leg press a lot. And then you're just squatting, all your variations of squatting. I like to do one leg squats, like one leg box squats. So it's kind of like a pistol
to a box.
And I'll have them hold kettlebells or something like that.
Like a counterweight to help keep them
Or
up.
They can load them too. We have some people that will actually like hold a pretty good sized kettlebell and load these squats. And then your prowler pushes and your prowler drags backward.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mark, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, developing the squat, I don't treat it a whole hell of a lot differently than I do the deadlift. So we're still doing a lot of core training. We're doing a lot of hamstring work. So at the end of every lower body workout, they're hitting some kind of hamstring curl or RDL or heavy kettlebell swing or Ukrainian deadlift, something like that. And then we throw that into the extra workouts too, come in and get some more Ukrainians in or lying leg curls. So we do a lot of that. We do a lot of different squat variations. So we're doing Zerker squats, we're doing box squats, front squats, back squats, you know, chains, bands, everything. Just trying to get their legs stronger, not necessarily to have a great squat, but just to be stronger all around.
Okay. So if you don't have a leg press, because a lot of typical, you know, functional fitness or, you know, CrossFit gyms, even strongman gyms, I don't think they have necessarily a leg press in their place.
They should get them.
They should get them. That's the solution.
If you can get one, get one. Okay. Should, yeah, I agree. Yeah. If you there's get nothing one. Wrong with freaking machines.
Definitely not. I mean, you could build so much strength with machines. I mean, they're therapeutic too. They help you recover. Yeah. They're not the same movement over and over and over. But if not, like, we even have a squat belt. You know, for the belt squat, that we'll have them stand on boxes, hang weight, and just do belt squats off of boxes, because the belt squat machine's enormous and they're pretty expensive too. So what we ended up doing was opting for the leg press. And then later on down the road, we'll get a belt squat machine.
Yeah.
But you could still do the belt squats with loading
pin. If you have a chain that you can hook up. Yeah. That's actually what I did when I messed up my shoulder a few years ago. I couldn't really load my upper back, so I just did a lot of, you know, belt squats. I just threw some boxes together and stepped on him.
Yeah.
It looks like looks like your balls are hanging between your feet.
It
gets the job done, right?
It does.
But there's nothing wrong with machines. You know, I know it's a big, a big cool thing that we don't have any machines in here. Man, anytime I see a good one, I'll grab it. You know, right now we're looking for a real heavy duty lat pull down. You know, the problem is finding one that's heavy enough that, you know, is not going to max out in a couple of years. So, leg presses, belt squat. We got a belt squat coming now. I like all that stuff, you know.
Okay.
Hit those auxiliaries.
Yeah, that stuff is good.
So before they invest in a leg press machine, because we're telling them to, what can they do that has that similar transfer? Anything that unloads the core?
Not as good.
No, not really.
Because I was thinking the trap bar deadlift, but in a more...
But it's not going to... Like, you're not going to be able to push the same. Like, you can't pin your back to something.
Right.
You know, and push away. Against. Yeah. I mean, that's almost like trying to do a bench press without having your back against something.
Right, really. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay. Like, I mean, you could get like a press machine, but it's not going to... Yeah, it's just... You need that support behind you to be able to push away from you.
Okay. Before we move on to the next topic, take a break. Any finer points about the squat that people might not be familiar with that you've discovered when you're trained or you're training with your athletes? I mean, they're just typical, you know, obviously set up in the correct stance, get your feet wide enough, you know, make sure your knees are not caving in, don't round your back. Anything that you guys have discovered that might be, an epiphany moment?
With CrossFitters and Olympic lifters, that their squats are not great. You know, they bounce out of the bottom, and I know that's the way they like to do it in Olympic lifting, but you need to be able to create power out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And for you to just throw weight on your bar and drop and bounce out of the bottom, you're missing a lot of what you could be getting out of the squat. And you got to think of the squat as, if you are an Olympic lifter, as a way to build your Olympic lifts. You know, it's not a squat for the sake of squatting. If I had a Olympic lifter come in, I think I would do all the same stuff that we do with our strongmen, our CrossFitters. Is I would box squat them wide, I'd squat them narrow, I'd front squat them, I'd Zerker squat them, I'd put them on bands, but I definitely wouldn't let them bounce out of the bottom. And what I see a lot of times is guys that'll come in and they have a 300-pound clean and a 315-pound front squat. You know, it's like, well, how are you ever supposed to? You're going to hit that clean and be in the very worst position possible because you've just caught this clean. You're automatically in the bottom position. It's not like you set yourself up to do this. Now
you're not going to be able to bounce out of that,
right? And you only have a 15-pound, between your clean and your front squat. That's not a lot of weight. You know, I would want to push that front squat or the back squat up to 400 or 500 pounds. You know, to give you some breathing room.
Yeah,
I agree with him. I think the bounce, and I'm not an Olympic lifter, but I think the bounce is good as like a, if you're stuck, you know, you could
don't practice you could, it,
but not really practice it. Yeah,
it's there. It's there to help you out.
It's there. But something to to
don't default
fall back
to it,
on.
Yeah.
I like tempos. So you'll your tempo, your pause at the bottom, and then come up. I mean, that helps. What is it? I read a while ago, it's 3 seconds. So if you stop for 3 seconds, all of that elastic contractile force relaxes.
Yeah, depending on how high a yeah. level of athlete yeah. you are. You know, yeah. the higher you are, the longer you can hold it. But mm-hmm. it's not long.
No, it's not. No, it's so if you give fast. It like about 3 seconds, you're not relying on that rebound effect.
Yeah.
So yeah, like at least a 3 second pause would be
with somebody else counting, not you.
Yeah, yeah, not you. Yeah, like yeah, one, it's like two, three,
right. or faster.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and I'm finding that similar because I'm coming back from another episode, but I took basically 3 weeks off for just to do mobility and kind of exploring how deep I can really go. Mm-hmm. And you're not gonna be able to lift as much weight as you did before. The deeper you go in a squat, because mm-hmm. your body's not used to that.
Yeah.
That tension.
Yeah.
In that depth. So, you know, I'm going a lot slower. I'm actually, I do like 5 count.
Okay.
I'm counting, so it's probably a little faster than 5 right. seconds, but
like
still.
3.5 seconds.
Yeah. And just kind of sit there for a minute mm-hmm. and then come out of it.
We squat off really low boxes. And when I say I squat off a really low box, it's probably like 12 inches. But some of the other people will go down to like an 8-inch box and they'll just fully sit on that box and explode out of it. And, yeah. and a lot of times they will go. They'll force themselves to go lower because they are sitting on a box as opposed to, mm-hmm. you know, just holding that position. But that's brutal. And yeah. it'll really show you where your mobility lacks and exactly. where your strength lacks.
You and know? The other thing, you've mentioned a couple exercises for your hamstrings mm-hmm. and hamstring mobility. I think what I've found recently is huge in terms of being able to get as deep as I want to get in terms of where I wanted to translate to.
Right, right.
In terms of like yeah. snatching and cleans and being able to catch a low. Because the heavier weight's going to come, so you have to obviously get deeper.
What are you doing snatches and cleans for? You're 8 feet tall. You ever seen an Olympic level athlete in a weightlifting that looks like you? They're all this tall.
I'm trying to break the mold, man. I'm trying Jeez. To break the mold.
You better gain about 200 pounds.
Yeah, I do. I'm at 93, 94. I'm at 94 right now. But we got to talk about the Highlander after this. So that's actually a good segue. Good to get. Moment to stop, and we'll be back with Sean and Mark in a moment. Cool. Are we rolling? All right, we are back with the demigods.
Wait, you know, this one said, "Oh, how the mighty has fallen" on the yes, last podcast, and I've been nice to you the whole time.
I was waiting for that.
Jesus.
Wow.
I'm listening. Hopefully, this can be a nice podcast. My two buddies talking, and I get bastard in the first 5 seconds of the podcast.
We wanted to make sure that you were paying attention just and that you were listening.
Landmine yeah. me right in the middle.
Which is also, so good. Question. So who's stronger?
He is.
Yeah, but he throws way further.
Yeah. Who's better looking?
Probably her. I look like a bad guy in every spaghetti western movie that Eastwood has ever in.
All right. So let's get back on track. That was in jest, man.
I hear you.
All right. But we are talking about developing strength in certain movements. We're going to get into pressing and pulling now, okay? And pressing is usually associated with the bench press, strict shoulder press. What do you guys do for that? Accessory work. Let's start with the – if it translates, you can cover both. If it applies to both the overhead press and the bench press, mm-hmm. or we can tackle it one by one.
I mean, usually we just work overhead press. I mean, I use bench press as an accessory to overhead press.
Okay.
So I'll use bench press, incline bench press, and then your dumbbell presses, you know, flat and incline. And then I like to do your shoulder work, like your typical bodybuilding routine with your lateral raises, your front raises. I'm a big fan of band pull-aparts.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they just do so much for strengthening. We joke at the gym that they're like the go-to. Like if somebody yeah. hurts their shoulder, we have them do band pull-aparts. Oh, yeah. But it usually like brings it back together.
So can you explain that a little bit more, what a band pull-apart is, if people don't
you
know, know?
You take your pink or your little mini band and you just pull it. It's okay. just your... we usually do them high reps, about 20 reps, maybe 6 sets right. or something like
squeezing
that.
Squeezing those shoulder blades together. Yes.
Right? When you do yeah. think of, but be mindful of anything yep. when you do that.
Yeah, right. yeah, gotcha. That squeeze. Okay. And it pulls everything back and it pulls everything together. We have a cable machine, so I like to do the tricep pushdowns.
Okay.
At the end of workouts, just to get the blood to the triceps and help strengthen them because triceps are huge for your press.
And I think that's something that I learned from you, Mark, is that I never thought about it, but how much carryover, you know, tricep strength has to pressing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Just, which is pretty, I guess, obvious when you think about it. But when you don't,
right.
you don't. Yeah.
And then you see, like, I was just down, I was talking to the Todd earlier today. I downloaded a bunch of pictures off of Google today of Chinese weightlifters doing all these bodybuilding movements. Because here in the States, all we do is squat, front squat, snatch, and clean and jerk, you know. And you see all these Chinese guys doing all these bodybuilding type exercises. And I thought that was really cool. But, you know, you got to work those triceps. It's the end part of that jerk and lockout. And if you're not moving that bar, you know, something's got to move that bar, whether it's your triceps or not. But just to be able to hold it over your head is difficult. I love the tear parts. We do those all the time. That's like, I'll do that 3 or 4 times a day. You know, I'm in the gym. I just go grab a band, go get some of those in. I'm constantly working out. So, I mean, I'm there all day. I might as well do something.
Yeah,
but
throw it in.
We do it a little bit differently. We don't do very many overhead stuff, not because it's not great, because we love it, but we're starting to get some shoulder problems with our athletes. So I was talking to Shane Sweat, and when he came for the cert, and he suggested put them on the bench press, take them off the overhead stuff, and then just work the triceps, work the shoulders, work the upper back, and see what happens with your overhead stuff. So kind of like you do with the deadlift, we just bench press and do bench press variations. But then every once in a while, we'll come back to the overhead press or the push press or whatever, and it's always going up. They always go up because you're working all those muscles that are going to either push the bar or stabilize you once you have the bar up over your head. So,
and that's kind of what we do. And I said before, our athletes want to focus on their overhead. So we come around and we try to work it the other ways like Mark does without doing overhead all the time. We do our bench press and our incline press.
Well, plus, we also took out butterflies and kipping and handstand pushups and threw all that shit out, you know.
So everything's strict, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
What types of variations of the bench do you use?
How much time do you have? We do bench press, we do closed grip, we do Swiss bar bench. With the Swiss bar, you have three different handles, so there's three different variations there. We do a cambered bar bench. We do all those things, adding either bands or chains from the bottom or bands from the top. We do floor bench, board bench, you know, different size boards.
Okay.
We find as dumbbells. Many different ways. We'll do that after, so after we hit that major. They'll do what I like to have them do is like 3 sets of 1 minute, as many dumbbell benches as you can get in a minute. Mm-hmm. You know, just try to get as many reps in as possible.
Okay. Flies, dumbbell flies?
Every once in a while I'll throw flies in for someone, just to strengthen their chest up.
Yep.
But we don't do a whole lot of fly stuff. No. But we'll throw them.
Do you guys ever do that for stones? Sorry, I'm kind of going off a tangent.
I never really have.
No, but it's not a bad idea.
No, it's not really. And I've thought about that before. Like I repair equipment at the university in Youngstown, and every once in a while I'll get on the PEC.
Yeah, right.
Like I need one of these.
Right.
Like, I wish I had one, and then I always think like this has got to help my stone load.
We got one of those I don't even know what they're called. It's like a round ball that you do pull-ups on.
Oh.
So from Rogue, so we grab that, we'll do pull-ups on that.
Okay.
It's not quite as big. It's like the size of maybe like a 90-pound stone, you really have to squeeze it to get up on the to get a chin up on it, though.
All right. So before we get into pulls and pulling, upper body wise, tricep exercises. I know you talked about some. Any other ones that people can do?
I love dumbbell skull crushers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we'll do this regular skull crushers. We'll do the rollbacks and come forward. We'll do Tate presses where we'll bring the dumbbells together, laying on a bench and bringing them up. And the same thing as, like I said, with the back extensions is, you know, if you're using a 30-pound set of dumbbells this week, you got to use 35 next week and just keep pushing that, just like you push everything else, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, get those strengthened. We use pretty much all the same movements. I'm a big fan of the close grip and bench press.
Yep.
And dips. We do a lot of weighted dips.
Yep.
Because, I mean, the more – so – when your hands are over your head, your triceps don't contract as strong, but as they come this way, the stronger their contraction is.
Mm-hmm.
So they contract way stronger here than they would here. So you're getting a stronger tricep from pressing forward. So when you're pressing down, you're really squeezing that tricep at the extension of your dip. So we like to throw those in a lot, especially the weighted ones. And then the people that can't do weighted dips, I like to have them do dip negatives. So they'll jump up and then slow them, you know, lower themselves in a tempo.
I don't think there's anything better that you can do for yourself than dips. I
mean, yeah, dips are excellent.
Below your chest and shoulders and triceps.
And are you looking for a specific angle of the torso when you're doing a dip?
I like,
because obviously some people lean very far forward, more people are upright.
I don't really specify. Usually everybody just kind of finds like a natural
groove
that works for them.
Gotcha.
I know gymnasts like to change position, but for strengthening triceps with weight, I like just find your groove and
go.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you're not going to put yourself in a bad position
and make sure you lock out at the top.
You do want a good lock out at the top.
Leave it short.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's get into pulling. So let's say we have athletes that are not very good at strict pull-ups or chin-ups, right? So we get them off the bar. How do we help them?
We took all of our people. It's been about 6 months now. We took all their bands away. So even if it's someone who's really large, we took their bands away and we made them do jumping pull-ups with a negative on each one. And the progression to regular strict pull-ups has been pretty outstanding that we all of a sudden we have all these people who can do strict pull-ups. I think people rely heavily on bands and they know I have a green band and a red band and that's the band I use. And they just never get any better. I mean, they go faster through their workouts, but so we took them all away and we had them do that. That seemed to really help us out a lot. Okay.
That's really funny that he said that. So my members all need to listen to this episode because it was several months ago. I posted in our group, we're not doing band pull-ups.
Yeah.
We're doing jumping pull-ups and everybody shit their pants.
Yeah.
It was like a 6 week. We took it off for 6 week. And I mean, I was seeing people that were almost getting pull-ups that were using bands these whole times. I was like, see how close you have been to pull-ups like this whole time. And I was like, if you want to squeeze them in every once in a while, but if you're doing a workout or just do the jumping pull-ups, do the negative. And now they're all excited because they're allowed to use bands again.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to
take them
back the bands back off because everybody did really good.
Well,
and it's nice to have somebody else. You know, like they need to watch this because Mark did that too.
He had this girl, Lynn, who was a pretty high-level gymnast and she's super jacked. And she was using bands for pull-ups. And I said, can't you do a strict pull-up yet? And she said, I don't think so. And I just took her band off and I said, do a strict pull-up. And she knocked out like six of them. I'm like, okay, we're taking bands away from everybody, you know, because some of you don't even know you can do strict pull-ups. So yeah, that was our major one to get pull-ups is just take away their crutch.
Yeah, because when you think about it, the band helps you at the point when you need most strength, right? When you're at the bottom and kind of talking about the squat earlier, you were kind of bouncing out of the bottom.
Yeah, so if you
need to develop that strength in the bottom of the pull-up when you're not, that's where the band kind of...
And they have to hit that negative on the way down.
On the way down.
You know, because some of them will jump almost to the bar and then
just kind of fall off.
Yeah, right.
Is there, 3 to 5 seconds on the way down?
I just try to,
as long as you can.
Add some resistance.
Right.
Okay. Just try to resist.
Just resist it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with pulling, how do we develop a bigger, stronger back? And I know you've been posting a lot about this.
Yeah. Right. The thing that pisses me off worse than anything since I've been in this business.
We should name this podcast the thing that...
The thing that pisses Valenti off.
We should have a whole podcast about things that piss us off. That would be amazing.
is the bad back. Bad back has been the excuse for people not wanting to be good at life forever. So all I get is whether I'm in Target and somebody wants to come to the gym or I've got this bad back. The fuck you do? You've got a weak back. You know, and we've got guys in the gym who, what can I do for a bad back? Well, you know me, you've been in this gym for 2 years and I preach the reverse hyper every day. Yeah. So go in the back and get on your reverse hyper and fix your back or, you know, do some more ab work because your belly's super spongy or, you know, I will lay out exactly
a very
what
nice
they
way
need
to put
do.
It.
Spongy, well, I'm, spongy I'm belly. Not, you know me, but there's, the back you either have a strong back and you're a strong person, or you have a weak back and you're a weak person. There's never been a strong guy with a weak back. And, you know, so we hit the reverse hyper, we hit the hyper, I love bent over rows. And that's an exercise you don't see very often. But I mean, you were a bodybuilder. I mean, you can't get any better than that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not fun. It's not sitting on a machine doing rows, but It will build your back. You know, we had a competition the other day, Kerry Overfelt down in Kentucky. You know, he did 405, so I had to do 425. You know, it's just built on that. But, you know, if you can do a good set of five with a heavy weight, you know, it's going to fix all your back problems once you get strong, you know.
Yeah, and what I meant to ask, and actually kind of hit it with the bent over row, is we covered a lot of the posterior chain and kind of the lower back, but you know, upper back. You know,
yeah.
So obviously you have million and one dumbbell. I mean, a row variations, right? Bent over barbell, pen lead, whatever. Anything else?
I mean, we have a machine. I like to go back to machines all the time because I started with bodybuilding.
I'm looking for one right now. Like, if anybody out there has a heavy duty lat pull down, I want one.
And like we have a hammer strength row. So I like to use that, but even like bent over flies.
Yeah.
We'll do cable, so we'll like to hook the cable to the rig, and you know get your pulls with the cable or not the cable, the band. And then we have different grips for pull ups too. And I'm big on partner assisted pull ups. So a lot of times I'll program pull ups for someone, and I'll say I'd rather you do partner assisted than banded pull ups because the partner's like got their lats and they're just giving them what they need, so they're still pulling themselves up there. But and I have to do curls. Like
people
do curls.
Hell
like,
yeah!
So many curls go on at my gym. Like at all times.
We curled twice last week. Everyone was digging it.
Yeah,
you know?
And I give them axles. They'll be curling the axle and cable curls. I mean, you need your biceps. Your biceps are going to help you do your pull ups.
I was going to ask you, so why? Yeah, right.
Well, it's a funny thing. All these people are working out and they're going to CrossFit. If you're working out that often, you should look like you work out. You know, there's no way you should be going to CrossFit 5 days a week and I can't tell you lift weights if I see you in a store. Mm-hmm. You know, you should be jacked.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with throwing curls in there or leg presses. And, you know, you should look jacked. You should look like you work out, you know.
Yeah. I remember actually back in the day, Gold's Gym, I forget the machine, but it's basically you're laying on the floor. Essentially, and then you're pressing directly up.
That's the old school
leg
press, the vertical one.
The vertical leg press. Those are very tough.
Mm-hmm. Those are awful.
Yeah, you die if you miss.
Well, you have the safety on.
Right, yeah.
But I'm thinking it's kind of like doing like a happy baby pose and
you're right.
And yoga. All right, another tangent. Grip. Let's finish off with grip because I think it's a limiter in a lot of people. And looking at you guys' forearms are massive, both of you, and the veins are popping out. I'm going to hide mine as I speak. But that tends to be a limiter, especially in a lot of pulling movements. People don't think about actually grip and squatting as well. Mm-hmm. You don't have a good tension on the bar when you grip. How can you develop a grip in forms like you guys have?
I mean,
you can't fit into dress shirts because your forearms are so big.
I like to use the fat bars, so the axles.
Okay.
And this goes for everybody that I program for. I'll have them do their rows, but then I'll also have them do rows with the axle. I'll have them do upright rows with an axle. I'll have them do their curls with the axle. I mean, any kind of – what else do I have them do? We actually have the Rolling Thunder.
Yeah, we've got one of those.
Yeah, I'll sometimes throw those in for somebody who's really struggling because that's –
What's a Rolling Thunder?
It's a rolling handle. It's like – an axle, like a 2-inch diameter, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. I bought it because you at your competition that 1 year you had that.
Those are awful.
So I was like texting him, what do I have? I have to get one of these? What is this?
But yeah, it's a rolling handle and it's really hard to pick up the weight with it. So you attach it to like a loading pin. And So, I mean, in extreme cases, off people use that. But I mean, a lot of it is just dragging things and just, holding with their hands, really.
What if people don't have an axle bar?
I mean, you could get the fat grips are pretty cheap. Oh, I also have them do a lot of farmer carries. Okay. Farmers, and we have one of those wheelbarrows that we load up and just have them go
like a regular
parking lot. Well, we have a Rogue wheelbarrow.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, some kind of heavy duty wheelbarrow that you could load up with a lot.
I didn't know that Rogue was getting into lawn maintenance.
I think they're done with those now. I think they got rid of those.
Okay.
You can do pull-ups on anything that isn't meant to do pull-ups on, too. You know, find the square ridges on the racks. And
that's actually a good point because Tom took the rig down at Black Flag because they're doing a renovation.
Right, yeah.
And then there was a yoke. He has a yoke, and it's obviously the upper part. The bar is much thicker.
Right.
And I tried to do a pull-up. I was like,
Yeah.
Fuck my forearms. Yeah. I was like, this is not happening right now. But it's a very good point.
Yeah, I've really never done much grip work, but I think it's because I was in Highland Games since I was 16, and you know, you're having to hold on to super heavy weights or hammers, so I never had many problems. But we throw in the axle bar stuff all the time just to work that weight. Sometimes we'll do double overhand with the axle bar, and you know, anything like that. And I'm a lot bigger fan of that stuff than I am like the wrist curls or anything mm-hmm. like that, okay. or even the grippers, you know.
And one thing we talked about, Sean, in our last interview is when you deadlift, you go overhand, right?
Mm-hmm. You use a hook grip, right?
I do.
You use hook grip, but double overhand, right? Mm-hmm. Versus a lot of people when they deadlift is...
Yeah, I go they'll mix. Sure, yeah.
So Sean obviously has stronger forearms than Mark.
He's way stronger in general.
My thumbs just could hang on to a lot of pain.
Like it's yeah, that sucks.
All right, so speaking of pain, maintenance, you know, how do you guys put up with all this training?
So it used to be that I would just walk into the gym. How old are you?
36.
Oh, well, you're getting there.
Yeah.
How old are you anymore?
I'm 43. Okay. So I used to just go in and just start lifting. Yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. But now it takes me a good 20 minutes of
a solid warm-up.
Doing, you know, I do either sled drags or banded marches on my lower body days and reverse hypers and a lot of ab work. And then I'm doing mobility stuff that your boy Matt Stevens has me doing. And, you know, just trying to get through the workout without being worse than when I started, you know. So, and it's getting worse and worse as I get older. But it's my main advice to people who are young is do it now. Stay mobile. Don't, you know, don't let your body get all stiff and in pain, because you don't get it back, you know. You
gotta,
now it's just trying not to get hurt. But
I hate mobility, so I try to do as little as possible.
Great so, advice, Sean.
But I have my, you know, preparation when I get into the gym, so I don't like do all the but I'll start super light with my movements, like really super light, and then in between sets as I'm going, I'm lacrosse balling and just, you know, like, so I like to get started, but gradually work into it. So I'll do lacrosse balls. I'll stretch in between my first several sets. And
I think that's, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Mike Boyle. The strength
I walked out of one of his seminars one time. He irritated the shit out of me.
But one of the things he actually talks about is, and is one of his books, is, you know, stretching in between sets as you're warming up, right?
Yeah.
So use that time wisely, right?
Mm-hmm. Don't just and that's kinda, helped me a lot.
Don't just kind of walk around wasting your time playing on your phone.
We have our, you know, in-house massage.
That always helps.
Woman. Yeah, and like, yeah, that helps so much. So I haven't in the last couple weeks because I've been a lot busier, but I like to try to get worked on twice a week.
Okay.
And then I do my Epsom salt baths. I try to get those in twice a week. And
rum, lots of rum.
Rum.
I gotta get more into the rum.
All right, just don't lift while you're drinking.
Well, yeah, you know,
unless you're Mark.
I'm not allowed to lift now, anyhow.
Oh, so more rum.
Screwed on this. Yeah, so I'm just gonna, can I drink on those things? No, I can't.
You can only drink instead, though, right?
Worse.
you'll feel better.
Probably. Yeah. I probably will. Yeah.
It might not be the best idea. Any last, I guess, thoughts before we close up in terms of just getting stronger? I know we talked about this, especially us two, on several podcasts with Lindsay and Tom, but anything you want to reiterate?
I think you need to hit everything from all angles. I'm really big on hitting everything from all angles. And I was just looking at a CrossFit programming website, and one of my coaches and I were just like sitting there looking at all of the things that they were missing.
Yeah.
You know, because like they
any specific things?
So like you'll have them, they'll do their CrossFit programming. So they'll do their WOD, and then they'll do their Olympic lifting, and then they'll do their mobility. But their Olympic lifting programming is programmed for an Olympic lifter. So they're just training their, you know, their Olympic lifts, their clean, their snatch, their jerk. But they're doing no strict movements. Like none of their programming or training is any strict movements. It's a WOD and it's Olympic weightlifting.
Right.
You know, they're not doing a strict overhead press. They're not doing any kind of strict pressing whatsoever. And I think that you need to work in those strict presses and all of your strict movements. Like there were zero deadlifts involved at all unless they were doing it in a WOD.
Right.
Like, and that's many sites across the, like that's across the board. Mm-hmm. We were like, just sitting there picking them apart the other day. Like, what is going on? Like, But I think that's a huge thing that a lot of people are missing. And I think a lot of it is with the CrossFitters, especially, they see that as like bodybuilding. That's bro stuff. So they won't do it. And I think that's hurting them. Immensely.
And you have to build your community to dig that, like both our communities are. But you can't ever blame this stuff on the CrossFit athlete. It's the CrossFit coach who is, and I shouldn't just say CrossFit, it's functional fitness in general. They've learned from another CrossFit coach who's learned from another CrossFit coach. And when they go to get a cert, they go to a cert through a CrossFit certified instructor and they get their CrossFit level one or they get their CrossFit rowing cert. You have to look outside of that box. When we went down and talked to Judd, there's a wealth of information there. And if you just shut up and listen to him, you know, you'll pick it out. Or you know, they're down at Summer Strong this weekend. Go down and learn from guys who, you know, don't have a Fran time and don't have strict muscle ups, but they're going to show you how to get super strong. And the thing of it is like Sean was saying, there's no, whether it's CrossFit or Olympic weightlifting in this country, there's no consideration for the things that actually make the muscles that move that bar better. So if you're doing snatches and cleans, they're too fast to be muscle builders. You know, we had an Olympic lifting coach who, you know, was an absolute master. And the guy would say that Olympic lifting is not Olympic lifting, is an expression of the strength you've already built. And you're not going to build, you know, a huge upper back or explosive strength from the Olympic lifts. You're going to do it through your squats and your posterior chain work and your upper back work. And then when you come back to that snatch, you come back to that clean, they're going to come up. I guarantee if you give me an Olympic weightlifter and he comes in with a 300-pound clean, I'll take him off that clean for three, four cycles and just work all the stuff that's going to make that clean better. I guarantee he'll come back and clean more weight. It's just the way it'll work because he's going to get stronger and all the things that make him better at that Olympic lift, you know. And most of these guys are super technical already. You know, they've got great technique. They're just weak as kittens.
You got to get them stronger.
You know? Yep.
Yeah. So I think that's a lot of people just forget about, you actually need to get stronger. People are like, I'm missing these lifts. Well, you might actually need to break it.
You'll see them collapse when they hit the bottom.
Yeah. Then they bounce like eight or nine times trying to get back up. And I hate seeing people catch a clean that they can't stand up.
Right. It should never happen.
No, if I could catch more than I could stand up, I'd be cleaning so much.
All right. Awesome. I think you guys both nailed it. Plugs.
What books are you reading? Are you reading anything good now?
I'm not reading anything good. You have anything?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk later.
All right. Because I need
to. No, it's fine. You have any, actually, that's a great point. Any books that you've read that you can recommend to people based on what we've talked about?
I really don't. Okay. Like I've learned I haven't really read a lot of books on training. I've gone to seminars and I've learned through experience.
So any
talking to different coaches like Mark, and you know what I mean? So it's all life. Like I didn't really read anything. I mean, Dan John always has some good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Dan
John. He was functional before functional was cool.
Yeah, he was. And he's really just down to earth, like in your face. Like it is what it is.
Okay.
And his stuff's pretty good, but that's about it for me.
All right. So more from experience.
Mark? Yeah, you know, for what we do, the Book of Methods, Louis' book of Methods is fantastic. He writes kind of like he talks, so it's a little all over the place, it's all there, man. And you know, so some of the stuff is pretty elevated. Like I read all of Bud Charnega's books, but I mean, you gotta be sitting in a room focused on those, you know, the whole time. But if you want a good one, Book of Methods is great, and his Olympic weightlifting book's really good too.
Okay. All right, plug time. Sean, where can people find you?
TBSS on Instagram, SJ Shoemaker on Instagram, and then Sean Shoemaker on Facebook.
What's up?
That's all I got.
Blind Dog Gym on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr. And you can search Blind Dog Gym on Facebook. And then if you want absolutely no information on weightlifting at all and get into ancient civilizations or, you know, crazy alien conspiracy theories, you can just follow my personal page. And then we're starting our own podcast here called The Refined Savage. That should be out in the next couple of weeks. So
yeah, so that should be
promoting that.
Yeah, that's the Refined Savage podcast. is going to be on iTunes, right? I'm assuming.
Yes, iTunes and Stitcher.
Okay, so we'll link that up because it should be out by the time this podcast.
If it's not, then my IT guys are going to get just smacked in the skulls.
Or we just waited way too long to release this.
Because my only thing was that I was just supposed to talk. I wasn't supposed to do any of this technical stuff. So hopefully it'll get all taken care of.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The weather turned out beautiful.
Oh, it did.
Until next time, Sean.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, brother.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap on another great episode of Uncharted Performance. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a second and leave a rating and review on iTunes and Stitcher. Each month, we will select a winner to win a special prize. This month, we are giving away a pair of brand spanking shiny new training shoes. Your choice of Nike Metcons, Reebok Nanos, or Nobles. So make sure to rate and review. Let us know when and where you are listening by tagging us on Uncharted Performance on Instagram or at Reach Uncharted on Twitter. Take care for now and see you next time. And don't forget to use the code Uncharted for 10% off on strength.com on all their supplements. Rage on, UP Nation, and reach the Uncharted.